ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நம. ஸோ இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் வி சா ஆஃப்டர் தி மங்களாச்சரணம் சங்கராச்சாரியா கேவ் தி அனுபந்த சதுஷ்டயம் in which four aspects were mentioned. Who is the candidate? What is the subject matter? What is the benefit? And what is the connection? Swamiji gave the abbreviation CSPE, CSBC. So now let us proceed to the seventh shloka. We will read. சதுர்பிஸ் சாதனை சம்யக் சம்பன்னோ யுக்தி தக்ஷிணஹ மேதாவி புருஷோ வித்வான் அதிகார்யத்ர சம்மதஹ. We read this shloka and saw part of it also in the last webinar. So here comes the second chaturthayam. First chaturthayam was anubandha chaturthayam. The second one here is sadhana chaturthayam. The fourfold qualifications which make a person a fit candidate, adhikari. If the qualifications are absent or deficient, you will find the interest in Vedanta also will gradually go away. It will be difficult for a person to survive in the Vedanta classes. Even if that person survives, it will not give the expected benefit. Like they say, you know, using Ganga Jalam for washing bathrooms and all. Thus, Vedanta will be used for time pass. It is intellectually stimulating, all right. But it is not, in somebody is not interested for moksha. So they openly told me Shankaracharya's commentary style is wonderful, all those kinds of things, but it is not going to benefit this person. So a candidate with all these four qualifications alone can reap up the proposed benefit. Chaturbihi sadhanehi samyakin sampannaha. Then yukti dakshinaha. Since Vedanta focuses on understanding its message, here we are not teaching particular types of discipline for getting spiritual experience that we already told in the last webinar. We do not believe in spiritual experience or mystic experiences. If you are interested in that, we would be teaching more and more of how to work for that, how to meditate for that, how to get in a higher state of consciousness, all those kinds of things. But we are conducting more and more classes, which means we believe in knowledge. We are focused on knowledge and not any new experience. So that is what the thing is. So Shankaracharya has dealt with the candidate by simply mentioning that a Vedantic candidate must have the fourfold qualifications. What the fourfold qualifications are, he will talk later. Here we should only note that without those qualifications, it becomes a book of information only, but it should be a book of transformation. Having entered my personality, it should bring about total positive change in me. I must be the embodiment of peace and happiness. I should be able to radiate peace and happiness all along to all others also. That is the transformation expected. The teaching can bring about that transformation. Then he says, yukti dakshinaha, the one who is intellectually fit to reasoning, and medhavi, capable of remembering the previous class at least here. So once we learn sadhana chaturthayam, we should remember at least what is sadhana chaturthayam. And therefore medhavi, enough memory power one should have. And vidvan, actually medha shakti is the grahana dharana shakti, the ability to grasp, grahanam, and also dharanam, to retain. And vidvan, sufficiently informed regarding other branches, including even grammatical analysis. Sometimes in Vedanta, they have a lot of grammatical analysis also. At least one should know the subject, the object, the verb, sometimes samasas, those kinds of things. That is vidvan. Sufficiently informed, that person should be. So we talk about actually Sankhya Yoga, all those kinds of things. So medhavi yukti dakshinaha vidvan sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. He is the fit candidate, the eligible, to reap the fullest benefit. When When will you get the benefit? Not any time later, here and now. We are not talking about the benefit after death. There is no method of verification also, because one won't verify and come back. Here Vedanta promises the result here and now. Adhikari Atra. Atra means Vedanta Shastre Sammataha. Is approved by all the acharyas. So we have dealt with candidate. Now what is the next one? The subject matter. In the original thing we said, it was CBSC. That's what we said in the last class. But we are putting it now. The order is slightly changed. Here after the candidate, we are going to talk about the subject matter. Vishaya Shuddha Chaitanyam Jiva Brahmaikya Lakshanam Yatrai Vadrishyate Sarva Vedantanam Samanvayaha. Here the subject matter is very profound. Very difficult to swallow. Normally we look upon ourselves as jivaha, individuals, a living being. So I am a jivaha, jivatma, and there is a jagat, and there is a world in front of me. Both of us are created by some Bhagavan or Paramatma, and I have got varieties of problems, and Paramatma gives all kinds of experiences, because Bhagavan is supposed to be the controller of everything, and we are all puppets, and we have to regularly go to Paramatma seeking help. This is our general thinking called Dasoham Bhavana, Dvaita Bhavana, Swami Drishya Bhavana, all this. Thus, I look upon myself as a helpless individual, affected by the world and affected by God also. Thus, I am helpless living being. That is our information now. This is our philosophy. And Vedanta wants to revise the Dasoham Bhavana. I am the Dasa, that Bhavana. It says, hold on to this bhavana for some time until one gets sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Until I become a fit candidate, the eligible candidate for Vedanta. Dasoham bhavana is useful. Therefore, continue to worship the Lord. Do pujas. Continue to practice karma yoga, upasana yoga. How long you should practice? Until one becomes a candidate for challenging the notion, dasoham. Dasaha aham, that bhavana I should be able to challenge. Is it correct or not? Or have I taken it for granted without questioning it? This view is challenged by Vedanta. Almost all religions, and within Hinduism itself, all other darshanas, they all only reconfirm this philosophy, Dasoham philosophy. Vedanta darshanam challenges Dasoham. And all other darshanam successfully. Vedanta darshanam challenges all of them. When I am ready to challenge, then I should come to Vedanta. Vedanta removes the first letter, Da. In Dasoham, first letter is Da. It removes the first letter, Da, from Dasoham. And when Das goes away, it becomes what? Very difficult to challenge this as attitude. Soham, Saha, Aham. Challenging. Studying, understanding, assimilating, shifting from triangular format to binary format. If you remember the triangular to binary format, that is the project in our hand right now for the study. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Vishayaha Jiva Brahma Aikya Lakshanam. Vishayaha means in the form of the subject matter, it is Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. But the word Aikyam may be misunderstood as union. Normally, when we say Aikyam, we think it is union. Many people talk about the Jivatma after death, traveling and going and joining Bhagavan. And there are movies. They also show the Bhakta. He will die somewhere, some plane or somewhere. He will come. And out of the heart, you know, he will, this Jyoti or something will negotiate all the streets and finally go to the local temple. And then it will say Shubham, movie is over. This is very well registered in our mind all the time. We also keep on looking for such kind of experience. Okay. For that he has to die. Then only one can get. We think Jivatma is here, Paramatma is somewhere else, and they have to join. Vedanta says, stop all those misconceptions. There is no question of joining Jivatma and Paramatma. Why? According to Vedanta, they are not two separate entities at all. The separation is a misconception. Division is a misconception. Vedanta does not join these two. Vedanta only removes our misconception. The only benefit of Vedanta is helping me drop the misconception. that I have to join Paramatma one day. That expectation must go away. I learned to claim Paramatma has never been away, is never away, will never be away from me. I, the Jivatma, am seemingly different, but really Paramatma only. Aham Brahma Asmi. And Shuddha Chaitanyam, to indicate not uniting but only with two different names, Jivatma and Paramatma. There is no union involved. And the next thing is the subject matter itself. What is the subject matter of Vedanta? There are so many interpretations. The same set of Upanishads, each one comes up with distinct ideas. Therefore, we should know what the central theme of Vedanta is. Shankaracharya says, Advaitam is the central theme of Vedanta. No doubt, it starts with the triangle of Jivatma, Paramatma and Anatma. Jivatma is Jivaha, Paramatma means Ishwaraha, and Anatma means Jagat, the world. So Jivatma, Paramatma and Anatma, three vistas. The aim of Vedanta is what? Is collapsing these three into one. Through Mahavakyam, Jivatma and Paramatma are resolved into Ekatma. And through Srishti Prakaranam, the Anatma is negated as Mithya, having no separate existence. Anatma is resolved into Ekatma also. Finally, how many Atmas are there? There is only one Atma. All the Upanishads uniformly converge into one, starting with three and converging ultimately into one. That convergence is called Samanvayaha. Therefore, he said, Sarva Vedantanam Samanvayaha. We find that the convergence of all the Upanishads is only to this particular idea of Ekatma, Ekatma. Therefore, what is subject matter? Advaitam is the subject matter. Advaita Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is the subject matter. Now comes the third anubandha, namely the sambandha, the connection. Connection means the relationship between the book and the subject matter. Shloka 9.
Etadaikya prameyasya pramanasyapi chasrutehe sambandha katyate sadbihi bodhyabhotaka lakshanaha. So Shrutehe Pramanasya Ekadaikya Pramekasya Etadaikyam.
That means what? Jivatma Paramatma Ikyam mentioned in the previous shloka, otherwise called Advaita Sattvam, is called Prameyam. Prameyam here is the central message. Advaitam is the central message, the convergence message. And what about the Upanishad Vedantam? Upanishad, whatever it says? They are all words revealing the message. Revealing words are called Pramanam. Whatever reveals something is called Pramanam. Eyes are called Pramanam because it reveals what? Forms and colors. Suppose you close your eyes, forms and colors will not be revealed. So forms and colors are called Prameyam. Similarly, sound that you hear is Prameyam and your ears are Pramanam. How to prove that? Close your ears. Sound will not be heard. Thus, revealer is called Pramanam and the revealed is called Prameyam. Words are also called Pramanam because words can reveal different messages. And the message that I reveal is Prameyam. Similarly, Vedanta Vakyani, they are called Shabda Pramanam. And with this Vedanta Vakyam, the Pramanam reveals the Prameyam, the message. What message? There is only one Atma. That is the message. There is no plurality at all. Neha nanasti kinchana. Plurality is an appearance, but the vastu is only one. Ornaments are many. Gold is only one. So what is the relationship or connection between Vedanta and Advaitam? Vedanta is the revealer. Advaitam is revealed. Therefore, it is called Bodha, Bodhya, Bodhaka, Sambandha. Sambandha means Sambandha, Katyate. Between Vedanta and Advaitam in the form of Bodhya, Bodhaka, Lakshanaha. And another word used is Pratipadyam, Pratipadaka, Lakshanaha. In English, we can call it revealer and the revealed relationship between them. Bodhaka means revealer. Bodhyam means revealed. So Vedanta is revealer and Advaitam is revealed. Who says this? Sadbihi.
All the traditional acharyas, they declare this fact. Now, the candidate, subject matter, relationship are over. Only one thing is left called benefit, prayojanam. So, in the Anubandha Chaturthayam, this is the only thing left. What will I get if I attend this Vedanta class? Shloka 10.
Brahmatmaikatva vijnanam santaprahu prayojanam yena nishesha samsara bandhat sadhya pramuchyate.
So what is the prayojanam? There is a direct prayojanam and an extended prayojanam. And what is the direct prayojanam? Vedanta reveals Advaitam. So by studying Vedanta, I will understand Advaitam. It is very simple. That means what? The prayojanam is Advaita Jnanam. Advaitam is subject matter. Be careful. Advaita Jnanam is the prayojanam. Advaitam prayojanam you should not say. Advaita Jnanam is subject matter you should not say. Also, Advaitam is subject matter. Advaita Jnanam is the benefit. So this is the direct benefit. Physics, for example, if you read physics, physics is subject matter and knowledge of physics is the benefit. Chemistry, you read, chemistry is subject matter, knowledge of chemistry is the benefit. So everywhere pramanam has a subject matter, pramanam study will give jnanam as the benefit. This is the direct benefit. And what is the extended benefit? Any jnanam will remove ignorance. The moment knowledge comes, ignorance goes away. Just as the moment light is switched on, darkness goes. Therefore, jnanam is the sakshat prayojanam, ajnana nivritti is its corollary. So, jnana prapti and ajnana nivritti. Don't exchange them, ajnana prapti and jnana nivritti. Ajnanam is already there with all of us. Then another important benefit is, whatever misconceptions are there with respect to Advaitam, they are all removed. All misconceptions with respect to anything, they are all born out of what? Born out of ignorance. If I think sun goes around the earth, it is a misconception. Because of what? Ignorance of the fact that the earth is going around the sun. Until I know this fact, what happens? Ignorance will lead to misconception. The beauty is, ignorance may be one, but misconceptions can be many. Therefore, ajnanam is one, misconceptions are many. And misconceptions are there with respect to what? Jivatma, with respect to Paramatma, with respect to Anatma also. And what is the misconception? All because of Jivatma is different, Paramatma is different, Anatma is different. That is the misconception. I see them distinctly. All because of ignorance that all three are nothing but Ekatma. This ignorance leads to division of Jivatma Paramatma Bedaha, Jivatma Anatma Bedaha, Anatma Paramatma Bedaha, all of them. Thus, there will be so many misconceptions like Jivatma is like Karta, Bhokta, Father, Mother. We saw in Dakshinamurti Stotram, beautiful shlokam, Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swaswami Sambandataha Sishyacharyataya Pitruputra Dhyatmana Betataha Swapne Jagrati Vaya Yesha Purushaha Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namayitam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Misconception regarding everything. The most fundamental misconception of all of this is what? The threefold misconception is about me. Of all the three, all the misconceptions, most important is, fundamental is, the misconception about me. The deadliest misconception is self-misconception. I am small, I am created, I am karta. All these misconceptions put together is called what? Samsara. So what is samsara? Misconception regarding jiva, jagat, ishvara, all of them. And the most fundamental being that I am a mortal, struggling, I am a miserable person, helpless jiva. That is the most fundamental misconception. This is samsara. Samsara is because of misconception, which is because of ignorance. Once ignorance goes away, misconception goes away. Samsara also goes away. And what remains? When samsara goes away, Some sara goes away, sara alone remains. Sara means the essence, the truth, ekatma, brahmatmaikatva vijnanam. This advaitic knowledge is the benefit, is the prayojana. That is the direct result of Vedantic study, provided the student has the necessary qualifications. If the student is the adhikari. Otherwise, the study will not lead anywhere. Study can generate knowledge only in a qualified mind. So, jnanam is the direct prayojanam. And what is the extended prayojanam? Yena, by this knowledge, nissesha samsara bandhate. So, from the all the bonds, bandhas of samsara regarding jiva and ishvara, whenever we get problems and we seek help from the Lord, and if help doesn't come, what we do? We get angry towards God also. God is very, very unjust. All the corrupt people are all thriving. I am very fair person, but I am not doing well at all. So Bhagavan seems to be very partial. These are all misconceptions. Even a sincere bhakta develops now and then such a misconception. This is called a crisis of faith. Is Bhagavan really available? Or is it a figment of my imagination? And whenever there is natural calamity, there will be an article by an atheist questioning, is there a merciful God at all? Note the word merciful. At no other time this article will come. Merciful is adjective. Is there a merciful God? Because so many children died. If you don't read all those messages, you are safe. But if you read, you will also doubt whether there is Bhagavan. That will be the first question. And if there is one, is he a just or unfair Bhagavan? Who is he? So this is also part of samsara only. Therefore, all forms of samsara based on the misconceptions of jiva, jagat and ishvara, nisheshaha, totally, completely, pramuchyate, is gone. So all the samsara is removed. And how long it takes to remove that? Getting knowledge will take time, because we have to go through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and so many doubts and all that thing. Between jnana yoga and jnanam, the gap is very long. But between jnanam and moksha, what is the gap? It is like waking up from a dream and freedom from dream problems. How much time will it take? You know, waking up and freedom from dream problems, how much time it will take? Careful, it is not wake us, think freedom from dream problems for the dreamer. It immediately goes away because I know I am waker. All dream events are seemingly there. I thought they are all real, belonging to me. And therefore, the word sadhyaha in this shloka is very important. Between jnanam and moksha, there is no time gap at all. No time gap at all. And if a person says, I have jnanam, but moksha has not come, what is our answer to him? If a person says, I know Vedanta well, but liberation has not come yet, it means he does not know. Therefore, knowledge and moksha occur simultaneously. Therefore, sadhyaha pramuchyate. Sadhyaha means immediately. Shloka 11. Prayojanam sampravrittehe karanam phala lakshanam prayojanam anuddishya namandobi pravartate. So with the previous shloka, the fourth factor also has been enumerated. So in the CBSC, all the four have been covered. What are the four? Again, candidate is one who has four qualifications. Benefit is freedom from samsara. Subject matter is advaitam. Connection is Vedantic study, which reveals advaitam and produces jnanam. Now Shankaracharya asks, of these four factors, which one is the most important? He says, benefit is most important one, because everybody is interested in benefit only. What is it in for me? And if he is not interested in that particular benefit, he is not going to pursue that particular study. Every pursuit is for the sake of a particular benefit only. Between means and end, a person always loves the end only. Once the end is accomplished, means become non-relevant. Therefore, among these four, prayojanam, called moksha, freedom from samsara, is the most important. And Acharya says, prayojanam, the benefit, that is freedom from samsara, phala lakshanam, which is the result of Vedanta jnanam, Advaita jnanam, that is the most important fact, which makes a person pursue Vedanta. Prayojanam uddishya. Human beings will not move even 1 inch unless he expects some prayojanam. Similarly, once you show moksha prayojanam, then people will be interested. Therefore, prayojanam is a general statement. Without expecting some benefit, mandahapi, even a dull-witted person, na pravartate, he will not work. Only difference is what? Dull-witted person will keep a dull-witted prayojanam in view. That is all. But even he has got his own prayojanam. Utilitarian is an instinctive tendency. So with this, the Anubandha Chatushtayam topic from Shloka 5 to Shloka 11 is over. Hereafter, we will see the first of the Anubandham, namely the candidate, that is going to be highlighted. And who is the candidate? The one who has the fourfold qualifications. The rest of the book actually is only about the fourfold qualifications. We will study from Shloka 12 onwards, and that too in an abridged version only, as I mentioned earlier. The original is still very much. Here the meter is actually in the next shloka. The meter is an abnormal meter. We call it visama vrittam. There is sama vrittam and visama vrittam. This is abnormal meter. When the verse is an abnormal meter, we cannot recite it in a poem form. We have to read it like prose only. So the 12th shloka is in visama vrittam. So we will read it as a prose only. Sadhana chaturtaya sampattihi yasyasti dhimataha pumsaha tasyai vaitat palat samsiddaha nanyasya kinti dunasya. So this is Vedic statement which we call a disclaimer. In business, you know, they always put a disclaimer so that they are safe. Similarly, Vedanta says Vedanta can give jnanam and moksha only when the student fulfills these conditions. If the conditions are not fulfilled, Vedanta will end as an academic study only. Or even if it benefits, lesser the qualifications, lesser the benefit. Therefore, watch your responsibility. Don't put 100% responsibility on Vedanta. You have to do what you alone can do. And unlike Karmakanda, you cannot delegate a guru to do that also. In Karmakanda, what do you do? When you cannot do, for example, Navaratri, people cannot do Devi Bhagavatam Parayanam. So what one can do is call a priest and engage him by giving appropriate dakshina. During Navaratri, that person will read on behalf of me and Bhagavata Parayana Phalam, who will get? I will get. Even though reader is the priest, I will get the Phalam. Then why will the, what will the priest will get? He will not get the phalam, but priest will get a different phalam called dakshina. So, Bhagavata Parayana phalam to Yajamana, dakshina goes to the reciter. So, delegation. In Vedanta also, one cannot tell the guru, I don't have time for doing the Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. Therefore, on behalf of me, you do it. And I will give you some extra dakshina. It won't work. You have to work for your sadhana chaturtaya sampatti. There is no shortcut at all. So, Veda says, you can take your own time. Doesn't matter. Because in Hinduism, we have many janmas. One can carry to next janma, next janma. So, whenever you get it properly, then Vedanta can work instantly. Therefore, yasya dhimataha pumsaha. That intelligent student, dhiman means intelligent, responsible, discriminate. That student, yes, sadhana chaturtaya sampattihi asti. So one who has got the fourfold qualifications in sufficient measure, because absolute sadhana chaturtaya sampatti does not exist. Because sadhana chaturtaya sampatti belongs to atma or anatma. It belongs to anatma. At anatma level, 100% sadhana chaturtaya sampatti does not exist. That is why we say sufficient to receive, to retain, to assimilate the teaching and transform to jnana nishta. That much optimum I have to get. Yasya asti. Whomsoever has them, tasya eva. Only for such people, eva is very important. It is not for all of us. Eva. Veda promises one thing. Suppose a person without sadhana chatushti sampatti comes. Vedanta has got twofold functions. The primary function is it can generate knowledge. It is primarily meant for generating, liberating knowledge. Vedanta. Suppose a person lacks or is deficient, then the very same Vedanta Shastra Pramanam becomes capable of giving punyam to that student. Because we are listening to Vedanta Vakyam and then Shastra Vakyam. Shastra Shabda is Mangala Shabda. Mangala Shabda Shravanasya Eva Palam Asti. That is why it is said that those who listen to Vishnu Sahasranamam will get punyam. Not only listeners, the people who chanted and those who organize the chanting, they will all be benefited. A purifying capacity it has. Therefore, in those people, Vedanta itself will serve as sadhana chatushtaya sampatti generating shastra. That means what? Instead of jnana yoga, the class will become karma yoga class. Otherwise, one will wonder, I have doubt whether I have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti or not. In fact, many students don't even say doubt. We are very sure we don't have. Should we come to next class or not? It's the question. Remember, it will become karma yoga or jnana yoga. Karma yoga says it will give qualifications. If he qualifies, it will give knowledge. So, Vedanta gives qualifications or knowledge as the case may be. So, therefore, Vedanta Shravanam never goes waste. But there are wonderful shlokas which say 1 minute of Vedanta Shravanam is equal to 1,000 Ashwamedhi Yajna and all that. A full shloka is there, the whole earth dhanam is there, 1 minute Shravanam is so much dhanam, so much Gangasnana palam, tasya eva pala siddhihi. Pala siddhihi means jnana siddhihi. Nanyasya. Nanyasya. Not for others. Kinchit unasya. Unam means lacking. So who is lacking in any one of these qualifications, for him jnanam won't be there. But the benefit will be that sadhana chatushtaya sampatti will come. Continuing shloka 13. Chatvari sadhanan yatra vadanti paramarshayaha muktir yeshantu sadbhave na bhave siddhyati dhruvam. So the last shloka says that for the one who has sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, jnanam and moksha, they come. And for the one who doesn't have that, even if he studies, jnanam won't come. What is the logic? He says, anvaya vitireka logic. We know this anvaya vitireka logic, we know. It means in its presence, results come. In its absence, result does not come. And therefore, this must be the cause of that. Like, for example, you add sugar to tea and taste it. It is sweet. And you don't add sugar to tea and taste it, it will not be sweet. So sugar sattve, sweetness sattvam. Sugar abhave, sweetness abhavaha. So the first sentence is called anvayaha. Sugar sattve, sweetness sattvam is called anvayaha. Co-presence of sugar and sweetness. And the second statement is called vitireka. That means co-absence of sugar and sweetness. And what is the conclusion? Sugar evam sweetasya karanam. In Sanskrit, sarkara evam madhuryasyam karanam. Madhuryam. And that logic Shankara gives here. If you look at the second line of the shloka, yesham sadbhave muktihi. In the presence of these four factors, the four qualifications, muktihi bhavati. Vedanta works. Abhave. In the absence of these four qualifications, na siddhyati muktihi. You have to read it twice actually. Muktihi siddhyati, muktihi na siddhyati. Muktihi siddhyati means co-present. Muktihi na siddhyati means co-absent. So we can never ever ignore the four qualifications. And if you look at the first line, Atra, in the case of moksha, paramarishayaha, all the traditional acharyas, vadanti, they talk about the compulsory necessity of chatvari sadhanani. Therefore, regular introspection, that becomes compulsory. So what am I? Do I have these qualifications? I have to check always. And if I don't have, it is my responsibility to fulfill them. Otherwise, Vedantic study will be another academic study only. I can tell others, I have done Gita. It seems once a student, he said to Swami Chinmayananda, I have finished and gone through all the 10 Upanishads. And Swami Chinmayananda asked him, it seems, you have gone through all the 10 Upanishads. And how many Upanishads has really gone through you? Therefore, it should be a life-changing project. So, iti paramarishayaha vadanti. Up to this, the introduction to the fourfold qualifications. Hereafter, there is going to be enumeration, which we generally call, Swamiji puts it as four Ds, D as in, you know, David. Namely, discrimination, dispassion, discipline, and desire. Four Ds. I want so many things. Along with that, let moksha also I want. That should not be a casual desire. It must come from the innermost heart. For that, only Bhagavan gives battering in life at regular intervals so that we know the basis of samsara and so that we know the value of moksha. When do you know the real value of water, for example? When you are thirsty only, you know the real value of water. Like the child playing with toys until hunger comes. Child can't remember mother because toys are wonderful. When hunger comes, mildly the child will say, Amma, once. When the hunger comes heavy, child throws away all the toys and rushes to mother because it has reached saturation. This is called Tivra Mumukshutva, the deep desire, which is the fifth D. So that is what it says now, and Acharya now is now going to say, these four qualifications will make the mind or intellect fine enough for going through the three stages. So in the 13th shloka, in the second line, Acharya says, Yesham Sadbhave, only in the presence of these four qualifications will the intellect be fine enough to receive, retain, assimilate and enjoy the benefit. So in their presence, Vedantic study will be successful. And in their absence, study will be a spiritual failure. Therefore, na abhave, in their absence, dhruvam muktihi na siddhyati. Moksha definitely cannot be attained. No question of shortcut or dharma darshanam and other darshanams and all. So when there is a long queue, you know, you've got another method. People normally want to go through a shortcut. So if this is dharma darshanam, Swami Dayananda asks the question, what will be the other one? It will be adharma darshanam only. Similarly, you cannot do something and go through shortcuts. There is only one dharma darshanam, and that is sadhana chatushtayam sampatti dvara brahma darshanam. That is dharma darshanam. No other way is possible. Now comes the crucial question, what are those blessed qualifications? First, Shankaracharya enumerates them in the following two shlokas, and thereafter he will elaborate each one of them. So we will go through the enumeration, shloka 14. Adhyam nitya nitya vastu vivekaham sadhanam matam iha mutrartha palaboga viragaham dvitiyakam. So adhyam sadhanam, all of them are mental qualifications only now. No physical qualifications are insisted upon. That one should, you know, a person should be a male or a female, all those things for more than 50 years, none of those things are said. What matters is the mind, not varna, ashrama, any physical distinctions. Whoever has got these qualifications, as Shankaracharya says, in Manisha Panchakam, it's a beautiful grantha, Chandalostu, Sattu Dvijostu, Guruhu, Ityesha, Manisha, Mama. Let him belong to any caste, Chandala, whatever, doesn't matter. Therefore, the qualifications are internal and not external. And what is the first one here among the four? Vivekaha. Vivekaha means discriminative knowledge. A knowledge which can differentiate between the following two. What are the following two? Nitya, Anitya, Vastu. Vastu means anything or any being. Nityam means permanent or eternal. Anityam means impermanent or non-eternal. So, first the intellect must identify what is anityam. And then on study, what do you really find when we do that? If I ask what is anityam in this world, you will ask a counter question. What is nityam? Everything that I experience, including the galaxies, they all appear and disappear. And according to astronomers, they even explode and disappear. From the smallest atom to the biggest star, everything exists within time and space. Therefore, sarvam anityam. The intellect must register this in the mind. This includes our own physical body. Then the next question is, if everything is anityam, what is nityam? Or is there a thing called nityam at all? Unfortunately, the instruments of knowledge that we have can never know what is nityam because the sense organs register only the world which is anityam. Therefore, naturally, we have to depend upon the scriptures to know whether there is a nitya vastu or not. And when we go through the scriptures, the Vedas, they talk about something called nityam. In the Veda Purva Bhaga, Ishvara or Bhagavan is said to be nityam. Achyutaya Namaha, Anantaya Namaha, we do all that in Achamanam, in which the God is introduced as Nityaha. I don't know what is God, who is God, where is God, how is God. I have no idea. I only know from the scriptures that God is permanent, Nityaha. This is called Paroksha Jnana, indirect knowledge, through what? Through Shastra Pramana. Therefore, God is eternal, world is non-eternal, God is permanent, world is impermanent. This is the mind, this is what the mind has to register very well. And when you go to the Veda Antabhaga, this is all Veda Purubhaga earlier. Now when you go to Veda Antabhaga, the very same God is now slightly changed from God to Brahman. Whether you use the word Ishvara or whether you use the word Brahman, words are two, but they are not two eternal things. One and the same eternal vastu. Veda Purva Bhage Ishvara iti uchyate, Veda Anta Bhage Brahma iti uchyate. So we can say God, aka Brahman. Nowadays they use the word aka means also known as Brahman. So God, aka Brahman, is Nityam. And other than Brahman, every blessed thing is Anityam. This is called Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. The details of which Acharya himself is going to explain later. Now here is only an enumeration. And what is the second qualification? Viragaha. Viragaha means dispassion. Viveka means discrimination. Discrimination in positive sense. In negative sense, racial, gender, caste discriminations, where it means partiality. Here discrimination means clarity regarding what is what. Clarity is called Vivekaha. And viragaha, otherwise called vairagyam, that means dispassion. Dispassion with respect to what? Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. Artha means all things and beings. Padartha, vishayaha. Obtaining iha and amutra. Here and iha means in this world, experienced by us. And amutra means in the other world as described by the shastras. I have not experienced that. I don't have access to the other world, but from the Shastra, I come to know there are 14 lokas. Chadurdasha, Bhuvanani, they are there. All of them are called Amutra. Thus, all the Padarthas obtained in this world as well as in the other world. Phala means that which can be obtained by our effort or actions. Phalam means attainable as the result of our own karma. According to Shastras again, we have not got this physical body accidentally. Very careful. If I have a particular body with particular features, with some congenital pluses and minuses, all these are not accidental. It is the result of my own karma. Therefore, every object in the world, every object in the world is called karma palam. Either laukika karma palam or shastriya karma palam, whatever. Therefore, every artha is called a phalam. I hope we are all in the same page. Every padartha is a phalam. And by using the word phalam, the result, the acharya conveys a corollary also. What is that? Anything that is result of an action is the product of that action. Result means a product. And whatever is a product has got a date of manufacture, karyam, karanam, all that you should remember. And date of expiry as well. Now there is so much consumer awareness. They say never buy anything without seeing the expiry date, especially powerful medicines. If not, it may become one's expiry date, the person's expiry date. Therefore, anything that is a product is anityam. Therefore, iha mutrartha phala is another word for anitya vastu. So, anitya vastu bhogaha. Bhogaha means pleasures derived from them. And pleasures are even security derived from them will be permanent or impermanent. Pleasures derived from impermanent things also will be impermanent. It will not be lasting. Therefore, with respect to worldly pleasures, our emotional dependence on them for either peace or security or happiness is risky. Therefore, develop dispassion or detachment, freedom from emotional dependence. One has to be careful. Veda does not say you should reject them. Dispassion doesn't mean rejection. They cannot be taken as goal of life. Why? They are not worthy of being a goal because they are all temporary. Therefore, they don't deserve to be goals but can be very much used. They can be very much used as means to attain the nityam. Shifting my attitude from goal bhavana to means bhavana is dispassion. From goal bhavana to means bhavana is dispassion. Money is sadhyam or sadhanam. If you ask money as a sadhyam, Veda will criticize that. Money as a sadhana, Veda glorifies. In Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a special ritual for money itself. That's called Avahanti Homaha. Tato meshi yamavaha, domasham pashubhissaha swaha, all that. And Shankaracharya raises the question, when we are interested in moksha, why should we be interested in anitya mokshartha? All this. So money as a means is wonderful. Our physical body as a means is wonderful. Without body, one cannot attend the class also. Therefore, you require the body. Thus, body, money, family, everything is useful, but only as means, never as an end. So, when I downgrade the world from sadhya status to sadhana status, it is called dispassion. So, attitudinal change with respect to the impermanent things. Okay, so 1, 2 is over. Viveka and Vairagya is over. Now, let us go to the third one. Sloka 15. Shamadishatka sampattihi tritiyam sadhanam matam. Turiyam tumumukshutvam sadhanam shastra sammatam. So the third qualification is mental discipline, which is further subdivided into 6 types. We will name it as 6-fold disciplines. All this we have seen in Tattva Bodha. Here only enumeration is done. Elaboration is going to come later. We won't count them as 6, but put together they are called mental disciplines. First one is called the Shamaha. Shamaha means thought regulation, the capacity to regulate my thoughts at my will. In Sanskrit, it's called Mano Nigraha. In Yoga Shastra, Chitta Vritti Nirodaha, that is called Shamaha. So Adi means etc. Like thought regulation, and Shatka means a group of 6 disciplines are there. They are called Shatka Sampattihi. Sampattihi means richer or richest, whatever it is. So this mental discipline for internal wealth is far superior to all forms of external wealth. If I have got all forms of external wealth, but I don't have thought discipline, I can suffer from depression. On the other hand, if I got internal wealth, even if I don't have any external wealth whatsoever, Molantaro, Kevalam Ashrayantaha, even sitting under a tree, one can enjoy life. External wealth is useful, but if there is a choice between external wealth and internal wealth, we have to vote for internal wealth only. In fact, when Sannyasinaha, all these people, sannyasis, they renounced the world, they renounced external wealth in search of internal wealth only, which is very superior. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Dravinam cha savarchasam. So, is considered the most valuable internal wealth. So, shamadhi shatka sampatthi, inner wealth of mental discipline. That is the third. Dravinam savarchasam sumedha amritokshitaha iti trishankor vedanu vachanam. And then comes the fourth one, the turiyam. Note that this turiyam is different from the mandukya turiyam. Seventh mantra. So that's is different from that. That the turiya means turiya padaha. So here, ananyatvam or mortality. Asatoma sadgamayam, tamasoma jyotirgamayam, mrityorma amritangamayam. Freedom from the threefold shackles. Asat means untruth. Tamaha means ignorance. Mrityu means mortality. These are the threefold shackles of samsara. Freedom from untruth, ignorance and mortality is called moksha and a passion. Previously we talked about dispassion with respect to nityam or anityam. We have to be careful. Dispassion with respect to anityam. Whereas deep passion with respect to nityam, which is immortality. And as long as I don't come to immortality, twofold fears will be there. Fear of death and fear of rebirth. Always they will be there. That is why many people pray, this must be the last breath for me. Oh Lord, I should not be born again. Therefore, samsara is fear of death or rebirth or both. And freedom from that fear is called moksha. And desire for that freedom is called mumukshutva. So, sadhanam shastra sammatam. It is given by shastra. And what is the original shastram? As we mentioned it in my earlier, in the introductory talk yesterday, last week, last webinar, you should say, this is Brahma Sutra is the original shastram because there alone a clean darshanam is codified and presented, Vedanta Shastra. Therefore, Shastra Samatha means Brahma Sutra Nischitam. In the first sutra, Athatho Brahma Jignasaha, Brahma Sutra, first sutra, we are going to see all that. The meaning of the word ataha is sadhana chatushtaya sampatti anantaram. So, mumukshutvam turiyam sadhanam. So, now what are the four factors now? We can remember as the four D's, discrimination, dispassion, discipline and desire or deep passion. The four D's put together is called mental qualification. Whoever has the qualification will not get moksha. But Shankaracharya is going to elaborately establish that these qualifications themselves will bring us close to moksha. By merely acquiring the qualification, even without shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam, one can get shanti, one can get nishta. It can give 60%, 70% or 80% shanti and ananda and is therefore worth pursuing. But 100% or total moksha is possible only through what? Only through jnanam. When I say jnanam, we have to remember receiving, retaining, assimilating and enjoying. This enumeration is over, but hereafter each one will be elaborated. The four lines in Tattva Bodha is going to be here in 100 and odd slokas. Shloka 16. Brahmaiva nityam anyattum henirya vedanam. Soyam nitya nitya vastu viveka iti kathyate. Brahma eva nityam. In the Veda Purva Bhaga, the religious portion, instead of Brahman, we say God alone is nityam. This all we have gone through, it's all familiar to us. Since we have come to Veda Anta Bhaga, now Shankaracharya replaces God with Brahman. He uses the word eva. Eva means Brahman. Brahman alone is permanent. Brahma eva nityam. Brahma eva nityam. That is alone. Anyattu. Anyattu means everything other than Brahman or God is anyattu. He anityam. Iti vedanam. Therefore, they are unstable. Brahma eva nityam. Anyattu. He anityam. Iti vedanam. And therefore, they are all unstable and they are not reliable forever. Peace, security and happiness. Impermanent means unstable. Unstable means unreliable. Therefore, anityam idi idi vedana. So, conviction with respect to the fact, it should not be casual, mechanical statement, but it should be a conviction. Soyam. Soyam means this conviction is called sahayam. This conviction is called nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, discrimination. And how to get that conviction? Vedana. Vedana means knowledge, jnana. How can one get this knowledge? That is going to be explained. The topic of viveka is taken up from shloka 16 up to shloka 21. Six shlokas deal with vivekaha. So what is the source of knowledge? We can know through several methods. In Mundaka Upanishad, there is a very important mantra. Pariksha lokan karmachitan brahmanaha nirvedamayad. The first lesson we gather from our own experience. In life, we hold on to many things as our support, thinking that either that object or that person will be always available for me. And then at regular intervals, Bhagavan gives some battering also. The source from where we expected definite support, that person says, sorry, I cannot help. So first time we get hammering. I depended on this person or position or object or our own body. And up to certain years, body supports. After that, we have to help it also. Thus, one by one, whatever we considered lasting, they go away. Intelligent person learns in 20, 25 years. Many people require battering throughout the life. Swamiji gives the example of the monkey and some ground nuts. This person was, for example, the person was drying the nuts on the ground. And the monkey used to take the nuts and run. The owner wanted to teach the monkey a lesson. He made a pot with a narrow neck with nuts inside and fixed it on the ground. The monkey came as usual and put its hand inside the pot. The empty hand will go in. It has a narrow neck. Then he took a fistful of nuts in from the pot and tried to take the hand out. Now the hand has become big with the nuts inside and so does not come out. The owner came with a stick and started giving blows to the monkey. The monkey gets battering. And what is the method to escape? Na karmana na prajayadanena tyagenaike. It has to let go the ground nuts and run. Similarly, we are like the monkey because we are supposed to be the evolutes of monkey. The monkey character continues. Swamiji gives all these examples. We hold on to one thing or the other. Even if you lose one, we replace it by another. And Bhagavan is giving a thrashing. That is called fear, worry, anxiety, stress. He gives all of them. All the emotional disturbances are Bhagavataha battering to teach us a very important lesson. Don't hold on to the anitya vastu, brahmana nirveda mayat. A viveki will run away from the world and run towards God. As Lord Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, A brahma bhuvana loka punaravritti norjuna Mamu petyatu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. Arjuna, you can go to all the 14 lokas, but you cannot escape. Come to me and you can escape mam upetya. What is the first pramanam? Anubhava pramanam. Pratyaksha pramanam does teach a lesson if only we are open to learning. And the next pramanam is shastra pramanam. It clarifies. Yovai bhumam tadamrutam. Yatra nanyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sabhuma. I hope you remember. Chandogya Upanishad 7th chapter. Brahman alone is nityam. Where there is duality, they are all anityam. Shastram itself teaches advaita. Advaita, both. So, Brahma prapancha vivekaha. Pratyaksha pramanam, agama pramanam, all that. So Shankaracharya in his Pariksha Lokan commentary, he says, all these different pramanas can teach us these lessons. What is the third pramanam that alone is highlighted in these verses? And what is the logic on that or reasoning? Karyam karana vivekaha. We have done this earlier. We have to remember that now. Karyam karana vivekaha. When you have got a karanam, for example, a lump of gold and many products in the form of ornaments, we saw the four features of the karanam. And four features are the karyam. Eka, sara, Nitya, Satyam. All these are all familiar to us. Ekam, Sara, Nitya, Satyam. Karanam is Ekam, Saram, that alone is substantial. Nityam, that alone is relevant for us. That alone is eternal. Satyam, it is independent existence. So, Satyam, Swatantra, Sattahaha. Eha, Sara, Nitya, Sattaha. Karanam, Satyaham. Karanam is essence. Ekasara Nitya Satyam. Before ornaments came, gold was there. Where the ornaments were, gold is there. When the ornaments are melted, gold is still there. So Trikale Api gold tishtati, Trikale Api ornaments abharanam tishtati. So all these things are going to be disguised in the further shlokas that we will see in the next webinar. यो वेदादौ स्वर प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य परसमहेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु नारायणः.